Hello, good morning, Roo. We're back to normal. We're here in the Triple M studios in Adelaide. How are you?
I'm very good, thanks, Dits. I'm happy to be back in Adelaide.
Yes.
And, geez, I've had about 1,000 questions about what is going on with the Crows over the weekend. I nearly need to become a recluse, I think, to get away from it. Nothing good happening
All
in
right,
the world.
All right, we can address that later on.
Yes, there's plenty of people want to know what's going on. We've got the Angels today. We've got Monday Talk Back. Limo's going to join us for a laugh. There's more wage rorts going on, Dits, in the hospitality industry. We'll find out more about that.
Can I tell you about Monday Talkback? I hope Tommy Tai Chi rings in this morning because he's got some questions to answer.
He sure has.
For the last 3 days in Hamilton Island, everyone was running to the toilet, and this is absolutely true.
So, I know.
So he went up there to cook at his cousin's restaurant, and we all ended up crooked as anything.
Well, so I brought it back to Adelaide with me as well, so I don't know what's going on.
Hey, Roo, how did your ride go on Friday? This is for Mark Micken and the Parkinson's disease fundraiser.
They had over 200 people organised, 10 teams, and it went fantastically. I think they raised about $50,000 when we'd finished. So
good stuff.
It all went to plan, and it was a great day.
Yeah, well done. All right, good stuff for everyone involved there. Peter Ford, not far away. Up next, though, the things that are breaking news this morning. Ruined It's on Triple M.
Triple M. On Ruined Dits for Breakfast, it's time to talk entertainment.
That's entertainment.
With Peter Ford.
Oh, Peter Ford, good morning. Tell us the latest on George Columbaris.
Oh, gee, I tell you what, he's really copping it, and rightly so. I mean, almost $8 million in wages that he didn't pay to people and penalty rates, et cetera, et cetera. But it was funny over the weekend, they in the Good Weekend magazine and The Age and the Sydney Morning Herald, they'd given him the cover with this halo around his head and basically saying what a fabulous person he was.
Didn't slip around his neck, did it?
Oh, I know. It's just terrible timing. And a lot of people saying, well, why didn't they ditch it? Well, be a lot of money, a serious amount of money to really go and ditch a magazine like that. And you'd have backlash from the advertisers who've got campaigns going. Unless it's really serious legal reasons, the publisher, as much as the editor of the magazine might have wanted to do it, there's no way the publisher would agree to that because of, unless it's like a really serious legal issue where they'd be getting themselves into a court.
What role does he play in his restaurants? Do you know what, you know, is he majority shareholder? Does he run everything, or does he just look after the food?
Yeah, no, look, a good call, because it is important to point out that he does have partners. I don't know how it's split, but he obviously does have business partners. And it may be that he does, basically, he worries about being the celebrity, the face, working in the kitchen, and leaves all the other stuff to other people. But it's very hard to imagine, given that there's 515 people who reckon they've been ripped off, it's very hard to imagine at some point at least one of them didn't go to him and say, are you aware that people in your business are not getting paid what they're meant to be getting paid?
Yep. Pete, I don't follow this fella too closely, but he is the same one that got into the blue at the soccer as well, isn't he?
Yeah, he was. He got charged with assault.
Yeah, he hasn't had a good couple of years, has he?
To be fair about that one, he did appeal and he won the appeal, so the conviction was thrown out.
Right.
Don't forget there was, in his place where he lives, his mansion in Toorak, the old broad next door was complaining that he was building a gym that was blocking her view of her bedroom. Yeah, building his own gym.
So he wouldn't have wild parties or anything.
No, nothing like that. So I don't know whether Channel 10 will ditch him or not for the next series. I mean, obviously it's finishing this week, so there's nothing going to change now. They've already filmed the grand finale, but whether they'll bring him back next year. I mean, sometimes these things tend to blow over, but this is a bit more serious. You know, whenever there's campaigns to get people fired, it's usually about because they've said something that someone doesn't like, but this is sort of next level. This is you know, hundreds of people being ripped off for millions of dollars.
Yeah. And it sounds like it's going to be in the news with Neil Perry's chain as well. So if it comes out, you know, there's some connection there in terms of what they were doing, well, it'll be in the news again.
All right.
I went to the Lion King on Saturday night, Pete, with the family, and got rave reviews from my crew. What's everyone else thought?
Well, look, it's making a lot of money. Just in the US alone over the weekend, it picked up about $240 million, Australian dollars.
Cost me 143, so that's how easy that stacks up.
Well, exactly. We haven't got the international figures yet, but there's no doubt that they reckon it's probably the eighth biggest movie opening of all time. And this is despite the fact it got pretty ordinary reviews from a lot of the critics. So you really have to wonder, are critics redundant? Does no one care what critics say? Does anybody not go and see a movie because it's had a bad review? Or is it just these days the power of the hype and the marketing and, you know, the celebrity interviews? That's all people seems to register with people now.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Pete. Good on you.
Have a good one.
Here he is, Peter Ford with Everything Entertainment. By the way, the Ricciuto kids have done a review themselves of The Lion King. We'll play this around about 8 o'clock this morning. Looking forward to that. And the other thing, breaking news today, Roo paid for movie tickets. Can't believe that.
Don't worry.
Can we just rewind over that bit or what?
Don't worry, I kept the receipt.
Oh, gee whiz. Someone's gonna cop a ton of
money. I'm doing a movie review for nothing, I can tell you.
Ruined it's on Triple M.
G'day, this is John Farmer.
Hello, Robert.
On Triple M's Ruined Dits for Breakfast.
Not really enough for an argument, boys.
It's time for Monday Talkback.
Oh, time to go to the phones. They are lining up to have their say. Let's go to our first caller, Roo.
Yeah, hello, good morning.
Hello.
Hello, oh, who's that?
It's me.
Oh, is that you, Helen?
I'm ringing up to just apologise for my sister's behaviour.
Yeah, I know. Heather snuck in. Luckily, Kate was still in bed asleep. But I didn't know you had a sister, Helen. You could have warned me.
Yeah.
She's the black sheep of the family. She's a very good deal.
No. We've all got a black sheep.
And she got a good deal through McGuan Real Estate.
McGain Real Estate.
Oh, is that? That's right. Mm. And she got some very cheap accommodation.
Did she?
So I'm just ringing up to just apologise for her behaviour, and I hope like hell she didn't run into the lucky Kate.
Well, no, she didn't. We managed to keep them apart, thank God.
Just
could have been on for young and old. But anyway, thanks for clearing it all up, Helen, and thanks for calling. I wonder
your
how many
appointment.
Yes.
Your appointment, Christopher, is at 3 o'clock on Wednesday.
All right, thanks. I'll try not to be late. Right.
Oh God. Hello. Good morning. Who's our next caller?
Okay, boys. It's Murray on the Murray.
Hello, Muzz. How are you, buddy?
Yeah, I'm not that good. I'm normally first on. Why did she get on first? I've been hanging on since midnight.
Well, you've been a bit slow, I suppose. She beat you to the punch.
I don't know if you've seen the story that nudist beach.
I did.
Yeah, Pelican Point.
Pelican Point, that's right. The minivan, he started that many years ago back in the 70s, and he's a good bloke, the minivan, and we're just being harassed.
What do you call him, the minivan?
Well, he said it was only half a coach.
Right. Okay. Now, tell me this, Roo. You're from the Riverland. Pelican Point. Is there something to do? Is there a connotation here about Percy? Percy or something?
You have to sort of have a long beak to get
there. Okay. Right. Anyway, Mars, what would you like to say about it?
Well, I'm not ringing up for an argument. But I was talking to the Olympic Flame last night at the pub.
Why does the Olympic Flame? How did he get the name of the Olympic Flame?
Well, he never goes out.
Right, okay.
Anyway, he reckons that you can tell the easiest way to tell the best bloke at a nudist beach is the one that can carry two hot coffees and half a dozen donuts. See, boys.
Yeah, right. Thanks, Muzz. That was opened by Don Dunstan in 1975.
Oh, why am I not surprised?
Yeah, exactly. Right. Good stuff. Let's go to our next caller. Hello, good morning.
Hello.
Who's that?
This is Jahangir.
Hello, JK. How are you? Haven't heard from you for a while.
You know, I have not spoken to you for a while. I've been out meditating in the back area of Pakistan. You know, and I went down to my favorite little village there. I go down a laneway and I go turn left and go into my favorite restaurant, you know.
Right.
You know what the man was singing and singing there to you, you know?
What?
He said to me, Ken Hinckley has to go.
Ken Hinckley. They were saying this in Pakistan.
Pakistan, little Donald Laneway, you know. Oh, I don't know whether it's true that. I thought I'd tell you, Big Red Cat, you know.
Right.
But you know, if he is a coach, because I'm an Adelaide Cruzman, as you know.
Right.
And,
how big is the Adelaide Crows Supporters Club in Karachi?
We have four.
Four.
Right. We might play a game over there.
You should come over here, you know, Big Red Cat, because you know if you come over to Pakistan, you know what happens if Port Adelaide plays my team, the Crows, you know what happens?
What happens?
we beat you.
Thought so. All right. Good JK. To hear from you, JK. Thanks. I think we can squeeze in one more
we
caller.
Can. Yeah, let's go to our last caller. Hello, good morning.
What is that racket in the
Tommy,
background?
Gee,
what is
it?
Oh, you know, I just come back from Hamilton Island. I see your boys up there. I work at my cousin's place, you know?
Yeah, you know, you went up and cooked at your cousin's restaurant, mate. This is Ridgey Didge. We are all crook. My wife's been vomiting for 3 days. I was sick for 2 days. We've got another young girl up there that travelled with us from McGain Real Estate. She's still sick in bed. What's going on?
You know why?
Why?
You know your wife, you know why she vomit?
Why?
She ran into Heather.
Into Heather.
Into Heather.
Right. Sister. Right. That's why she vomit. Anyway, I just love those yabbies, you know.
Yeah.
I'll tell you who my hero is.
Who?
I'm a little man called, I learned from my trade, you know, to run a business. My hero is George Columbaras. he taught me everything I know, you know. That's how you make money. I pay my staff good money.
Yeah.
I pay them $7.50 an hour.
Hey, Tommy, I'm not sure if you've read the paper yet today, but they're saying most of Chinatown's underpaying their staff.
Yeah, so Tommy, you might be under investigation. They could be knocking on your door sometime this week.
You come back, boys. Good to be back from Hamilton Island, and I want to thank McGain Real Estate. They did a good job up there,
yeah,
you know.
They did.
And I see you down at Gujarat Street.
Right. Now, one more time, what's the name of the restaurant again?
It's called the Golden Moon I forgot. I've been Hamilton Island too long.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Tommy.
See you, Tommy.
6:55. Oh, he's playing a bit of music in the restaurant this morning. 6:55, Ruined It's here on Triple M. Ruined It's here on Triple M. Roo, a shocking weekend for both of our football sides.
Sure was, Dits. Not just the AFL, but also SNFL as well. Mm. Both SNFL sides got beaten as well. The Crows got beaten by the bottom side. Port Elise got beaten by the top side in Glenelg, but or up at the top of the ladder. So.
Richmond.
Well, in the SNFL.
So you said the SNFL. Yeah.
Well, this is a season-defining moment. This quarter is huge. Adelaide lose this, get rolled on their home deck, and you'd have to feel the heat big time, I think. Can't just do what they've done in the second halves for the last few weeks and not face the scrutiny. Oh, just another terrible second half. 12 of the last 15 goals is unacceptable, so they haven't been able to get the job done again. Not much else you can say, really. They'll be calling for blood, there's no doubt about it. And Pikey's stayed very loyal to a number of players, and they need to have a look at the blokes who aren't getting the job done in those second halves and make some changes. When you got an old side, you got to win.
Roo, we heard from Rory Sloane and Don Pike over the weekend say the ball came out of the forward line far too easily, and that's where Essendon got the ball and scored at the other end. Is that the issue?
Well, that's where 12 of the 15 goals, I think, come from, they're saying. So that is part of the issue. But things aren't as easy as that in football. You've got to work out, was the ball delivered properly? Were the forwards leading properly? Did they then put enough pressure on the opposition so they could run the ball out? Did they have the want to tackle? Did they have broken tackles? There's lots of different things that go into a bad loss. But the problem is, it's for Adelaide, is it's happened now against four good sides. West Coast Eagles had a 5-goal lead, I reckon, a couple of months ago. Geelong, they were up by 20 points. Port, they were up by about the same. And again, against Essendon, they were up by that. As well. So it's happened a number of times, bad second halves. So it's not a once-off. So they've had chances to fix it and haven't been able to fix it. So they need to look at that closely. And, there's lots of ways that the Adelaide Football Club will be looking at it, because they really should have been 8 to 10 goals up at half-time. Mm. So people wouldn't be saying the players couldn't get it done at that point. The only reason they weren't is because they weren't kicking straight, or they weren't leading properly in the forward line. They couldn't convert the entry, so the connection between the midfield and the forward line. They wouldn't be having this conversation. But then why do they get scored against so easily in the second halves? What changes between the first half and the second half? These are all the things you got to drill down in, because everyone's passionate, everyone's angry. you know, the punters out there, they want people dropped. They want to blame this. They want Pikey sacked. They want me sacked. They want, you know, they want to get rid of the old boys. They want to get more young kids in. But it's easier to just to make decisions. But yet you really have to analyse it and work out what the, if there's one thing, if there's five things. You know, on was it Friday night, the amount of broken tackles was really poor. Broken tackles can be as big as anything that can cause players, teams to run from one end to the other, and that happened. Fumbles were a big thing.
So, Stephen Hawking says tackling's not a feature of the game.
Yeah, well, it is. It's definitely a feature of the game if you don't do it right. There's no doubt about it. So, and Adelaide didn't do it. They were really, you know, but they were poor in that area. And tackling is a mindset, Ditch. If you want to tackle someone, you've got to have the mindset that I'm going to get this play. He's not getting past me. If you get pushed off, generally it's because you're not going hard enough and you really don't want to do it properly.
Rue, you said you've had a million messages, right, from people over the last day or two. What are they asking you? What are the main complaints?
Well, they want certain players dropped, right, and they want changes. You know, as I just said before, from Pikey to individual players to the game style to, you know, just everything. Everyone's just venting their anger, you know, and I listen to it and take their feedback on board. As everyone, you know, Pikey be getting the same things, and so would Tex when we talked to him tomorrow. You know, all the guys would have went to the SNFL game on Saturday. They would have got all the same stuff. Their parents would be saying the same thing. That's what happens after bad losses. So that's nothing unusual. But, yeah, in situations like this, Ditch, you got to drill down and be honest, 100% honest. You got to stay together and you got to stay tight and you got to work out exactly what's going on.
Start of the year, you would have said that the Crows are maybe a top two, but definitely a top four side.
Yeah, I would have thought that they're up for that, definitely.
And it's not happening at the moment, is it?
Well, it's not happening at the moment. No, it's not. So, yeah, they've got to work out the reasons why. Having said that, and this is not an excuse by any stretch, but I don't reckon there's a single footy side playing consistently good footy.
Yeah.
Not one.
Nah, probably
Geelong
not.
Were.
And they've dropped off. They've lost three out of five.
They got beaten again yesterday. Yeah. So there's no excuse. And this, it's just an abnormal season.
All right.
Where it's very, very tight. I think whoever's going to get their footy right in September is going to steal a flag.
Port Adelaide, on the other hand, I don't know what to think as a Port Adelaide supporter right now. Should I be angry and being hard on them and tough? Like, you know, and Port supporters, no different to anyone else. But as you know, they get angry and they don't like losing. And you could say, well, your supporters don't like losing. I know that. But Port people are mad, and I'm probably one of them. However, I sort of think at the moment, Ruth, should I be looking at Port Adelaide saying, but we've got this very young, talented squad that maybe next year's our year or the year after. But Port people don't like saying that. They want to win this week. They want to win all the time. But am I meant to be a little bit forgiving and say, well, players like Dersmer are showing a lot and, you know, we've blooded all of these new boys. There's young butters out there doing some good things and there's other players. I love it when Joel Garner comes and he plays well. So do we say, well, you know, be patient next year or the year after? But people don't want to be patient. They want to win every week. So how should you look at it as a Port supporter?
It's a bit of a cop-out if you say that. I mean, Ken, he's been there for 6 or 7 years.
Yep.
So I don't think you should be taking that line. But they just weren't good enough on the weekend. They didn't look like winning. But Richmond are probably the side that look like they're gaining momentum and, you know, a chance to win the flag, I think. So they weren't embarrassed by any stretch, but they never looked like winning. I watched the game closely. Richmond in good form. When Dusty Martin's on fire, look, no one was near him on the weekend, which I found a bit surprising. Maybe they were put off a little bit by what they tried to do to Lachie Neale last week. And Tom Lynch, their recruit from Gold Coast, is just starting to flex his muscles a little bit. He looked dangerous up forward, and that combination with him and Jack Riewoldt's going to be very hard to beat, Ditch. So I think you were beaten by a better side, and Ken Hinckley basically said as much in his press conference. But Port are going to find it very hard to play finals, and the way the Crows are going, you know, not dissimilar for them.
But okay, you can forgive losing to Richmond at the MCG on the weekend, but it's the losses leading up to that that aren't forgivable.
Well, they got GWS at home this week, so that becomes an even bigger game. And the Crows v Carlton in Melbourne this Saturday now becomes an interesting game as well.
Because Carlton are building.
Carlton are building, and, you know, there's draft picks on the line there as well. But the biggest thing that's on the line right now is people's careers at both clubs, their reputations. At the club, the clubs themselves' reputations at the moment are very low, aren't they? And people don't like that in this state, and I hate waking up thinking that the Crows are going ordinary, and they are. Mm. So they've got to do something about it.
All right, that's our ruse. Saw the footy on the weekend. Ruined Dits on Triple M.
Ruined Dits for breakfast.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome...
Lehman.
I'm Anthony Lehman.
Oh, also on a Monday morning, Lemo joins us. How are you?
Great to be with you guys. Welcome back from Hamilton Island, by the way.
Thank you, Lemo. Is your wife back yet?
No, she's not. She's still there.
still dancing on the tables. Yeah.
I think she saw you guys.
Oh.
Bulldust.
There last week. She said, I think I saw Ruin Dits.
Oh, yeah. Here we go.
I said, really? She said, yeah, a couple of tubby guys walking down the beach holding hands. I said, that'd be them.
Yeah. Lame, eh?
They're a very well-bonded team.
Yeah.
I've had a weird weekend, guys.
You're batching. Must be a great weekend.
I am batching at the moment, and I wanted to get away for the weekend. But I bought this new Antonov aircraft, and my pilot said, look, I'm just going to duck over to Adelaide for the I haven't seen him since.
No.
So I don't know what's going on.
They're like the Crows footy side. We've gone missing at the moment, the pilots.
Hey, you know how to get yourselves a win, both the Crows and Port.
Play each other.
Sack your coach.
Yeah, exactly.
It works a treat.
Well, we tipped St Kilda on Friday because of that very reason, and they got the chocolates of Saints.
Reece Short, David Teague, Brett Ratton, they are all travelling beautifully, I've got to say. Tell me this, Dits, where do you stand on the Xavier Duursma goal celebration?
Well, I'm sitting on the fence because I...
Sitting on the fence.
As Ken Hinckley said, look, if you meet the young lad, and I haven't, but they rave about him, and I think he's playing great footy. But maybe you do it when, there are probably times, which is what Ken Hinckley said. There are times to do it, I think. But, so I'm being diplomatic about it. I don't want to hammer the young lad. No, because he's played great footy. I don't want to hammer him.
I'm on his side. I say express yourself. I say go for it. The fact people are complaining about it is ridiculous, let's be honest. We want to see the personality of these kids, and as soon as we see it, people go, you can't carry on like that.
Yeah.
Look, if he had an actual bow and arrow, that'd be a different story.
If he did fling one of the scoreboard and blew up.
Hang on, the bloke that started the Barcelona Olympics was allowed to do it.
So next week, if he runs out with a bow and arrow tucked down the back of his shorts, that's Mark Williams
used to fire a shotgun at the crowd, that'd be a bit...
That would have been done.
Oh, yeah.
Hawthorne player.
Clarko was a massive fan of that.
Yeah.
He used to love the shotgun. I remember Mark Williams pulled the shotgun out one day and we were 15 goals down.
Yeah.
I think that was the last. Clarko shoved that shotgun somewhere after the game. We never saw it again.
Duursma was about 5 goals down, I think, and didn't look like winning at the time. Yeah. But anyway.
Well, if he's listening next week, if he kicks a goal, I want him to rip his jumper off and do the worm across the half forward line. That's a celebration I want. Now, guys, get a load of this. Before I get to that, I discovered a hilarious nickname on the weekend. Yeah, Mitch McGovern. Do you guys know what his nickname is?
Brackets.
Because have you heard that, Dits? Because he wears the number 11. When he puts on weight.
So he's put a little bit of weight on, yeah.
That entertained me, I've got to say. Yeah. So what do you think about this? The Eastern Football League in Melbourne on the weekend has trialled something new called Silent Sundays.
Silent Sundays?
Where fans are not allowed to cheer on the sidelines.
Come on, Lemo. What's happening in Victoria?
No one is allowed to cheer because they're saying crowd behaviour has gotten so bad that they want everyone to just shut up on the sidelines and watch the footy. And they say it's a huge success.
No one turned up.
No issues, no fights, no atmosphere.
Is this a kids' footy or adults' footy? Seriously.
No, kids' footy. Kids' footy.
Well, I'll tell you what, there's an alternative to this. Let everyone barrack cheer and do whatever they want, but everyone wears those noise-cancelling headphones. Oh. That's another way of doing it.
That's not a bad idea. Put headphones on all the kids, and then the fans can say whatever they want.
That's right.
And just have meditation, sounds of the forest coming through the headphones.
It's getting out of control, kids' sport. I know, and you go and watch my daughters in the under-14s, you're not even allowed to go out to the huddles. That's one of the great things at whatever age person you are, whether you're a kid or your grandfather. You want to go out and see the kids and listen to
them. You want
to
go out and interfere.
Some of them do. That's the reason, obviously, they do it. But
that's why they've banned it. So they've banned that as well in this Eastern Football League because they said parents were surrounding the huddle. the coach would give an address, and then as all the kids are walking out, their dads would grab them and go, don't listen to what he said. This is what you need to do. They turned into a bloody rabble.
Yeah.
So I don't know if there are behavioural awareness officers getting around at this local football club. Can you imagine Gil McLaughlin saying that in the AFL? Right, this week we're going to trial something. No one cheer.
Well, they've tried everything else. It can't be far away, I reckon.
Actually, to be fair, they've been trialling that at Gold Coast Suns games for years. Yeah. No troubles there as far as I can tell. But anyway, guys, my challenge for Xavier Dursmer next week, rip the jumper off, do the worm.
Righto.
I want to see some more celebrations from that young fella.
Yep, good work, Limo. All right, we'll catch up with you on Thursday, mate.
Good on you, guys.
7:44 on Triple M. Ruined. It's on Triple M. Barnsley still going berserk here on Triple M. Everyone loves that song. Now, Roo, you've come back from Hamilton Island and taken the kids off to the movies over the weekend. Can I just say there was apparently a dispute at the ticket box office before the kids got in. Well, hang on, what happened?
I had a few tickets to go and see it.
What, freebies?
Yeah, from Triple M to go and have a look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't really read the fine print.
Right.
And they weren't available after 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock on Fridays and Saturdays. So didn't quite get in, but that's all right. Lucky I had.
So you've had to shell out your hard earned.
Shell out my hard earned.
How much?
Jeez, only $143. So I was on the back foot.
Well, you will have six kids.
At that point, after the Crows had lost and I had the diarrhea Saturday morning.
Right.
And it was just going from bad to worse.
Mm.
Anyway, the good news is The Lion King was fantastic.
Really?
Loved it.
You enjoyed it?
Yeah, I actually did. And, you know, can be hard to please in the movie.
It's not exactly Rambo.
It's not, but I liked it. Let's have a listen to what the family thought. Righto, we're talking about The Lion King here, the review. Rocco, what was your favourite bit about The Lion King?
When the hyenas killed Scar.
And who's Scar?
The one with the scar on his eye.
He's the bad lion, isn't he? He's the one that killed the dad.
Yeah.
Tommy, what did you like about The Lion King? You liked the naughty lion, didn't you?
Yes.
Why did you like the naughty lion?
Because I want to kill him.
You want to kill him? Rosie, was the movie sad?
Yeah.
Did you have a little cry on my shoulder at one point?
Yeah.
What were you crying about? What happened?
That the dad died.
And the little cub Simba was without a dad, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Sophie, were there any good messages in the movie for people?
Yeah, I think it was really good for kids because it displayed lots of good life lessons.
Like what? Keep it simple.
Just like not to be selfish, and selfish doesn't pay off in the long run. Like how Scar thought he would take the throne by killing his brother and trying to kill his young nephew just to be the leader and eat everything.
He ate all the animals on the area, didn't he?
Yeah, but in the end he died, so.
Joe, you were very excited about going to see The Lion King. What did you think of the movie? What did you give it out of 10?
9 out of 10.
Tom, what else did you like about the movie?
a star.
The ice cream you got at the start?
Yes.
The popcorn?
Yes.
The wee you did in your pants?
No.
Nick, was it better than the first Lion King?
I think that it was a fair bit different because in this version of the Lion King, they changed some of the looks of the places due to the animation.
The animation was really good, wasn't it? It was very lifelike.
But overall, I think the new one is the best by far.
What did you give it out of 10?
9.
Oh, a 9. That's good. What did you think, Sarah, the mother?
I loved it.
What did you give it out of 10 and why?
I would give it a 10 out of 10 because I felt like I always loved the cartoon and I felt this brought the cartoon to life so we could see the original characters like real animals.
All right, so are we all recommending all families go and watch The Lion King?
Yeah.
There you go. Anything else, Joe?
Oh, beautiful
stuff. Yeah, it's a good movie. Yeah. I'd go and have a look at it for sure if you're trying to keep the kids happy.
Who was just being murdered or belted in the background there?
Oh, there's always a blue gun on my joint, Dits, as you found out when we were away. There's never six kids happy with each other.
No.
So I don't know who it was, but worth going to have a look at The Lion King.
All right, well done to the Rusciuto family. The Angels aren't far away here on Triple M.
What a goal! Ruined.
Dits Overnight Sports.
For the hottest deals on home heating, nobody beats Mannix.
Hey, Roo, you said to me earlier this morning you've had millions of messages from friends, from supporters, demanding answers, demanding change.
Just everyone you run into.
I would make a statement now. Both of our teams here in Adelaide have underperformed this year and really underperformed.
Yep, I don't think anyone would disagree with that at this stage. Certainly the Crows would be would have been hoping to finish not only in the eight but higher up in the eight. And they still might, but they won't if they play the way they're playing at the moment.
All right. What did you see on the weekend? What was the issue?
Let's have a listen to Don Pike first about his assessment after the game.
Unfortunately, the second half was poor. We were just a lot of their score came out of their out of our front half. They were able to get the ball through the corridor, and their efficiency was really strong. I mean, at half time, things were looking pretty good. We probably didn't take our opportunities in the first half, but then the second half that flipped on its head. And I mean, I think in the second half they kicked nearly 7 or 8 of their goals out of our front half, which is going to just put your backs under too much pressure.
Kicked 12 of the last 15, Essendon. The same thing happened against West Coast when they're up by 5 goals. Against Geelong, they're up by 20 points. Port, they're up by 30 as well, I think. So this has happened on numerous times. Everyone's talking about the lack of forward pressure and the balls coming out of there too quickly, and then as a result going through the midfield and scoring quickly. So, that can happen from a lot of things. It can happen from bad delivery into the forward line. It can happen from the forwards not leading properly, and it can happen from the forwards being too slow, or it can be happening from not wanting to put pressure on. So they've got to work out what the reason is, Dits, and they've got to fix it. Now, whether that's change of personnel or change of game plan, everyone's running into me calling for different people's blood, whether it's players, coaches, everyone at the football club. They're just unhappy and angry about underperforming and not playing to the level they thought they were going to. So you got to back in the club and the people in charge to make the right decisions, Ditch, because one thing's for sure, whether it's the players or the coaches or anyone at the football club, they're more angry and frustrated than any supporter is.
Yep.
We know that. And they got to back those people in while they're in charge.
All right. Well, we're the same at Port Adelaide. There's no doubt about that. Now, you could say that, well, maybe we weren't ever going to beat Richmond at the MCG on the weekend, but it's how you go about it. It's how you lose. And it's how you go down. And as we know, Port Adelaide's season really has just been too all over the place, too inconsistent. So I asked you this morning, there are two schools of thought. You say, well, we're a young, talented side and it's going to be real, real good
but
next year.
How long
year
can
or
you say
after.
That for?
Well, that's the question you ask. Or do we just say, no, we're meant to win every week?
Well, you've beaten Geelong, you've beaten the Crows and you've beaten West Coast.
Yep. Away from home, we beat West Coast. Yep. So therefore, the best is very, very good. So I don't know. There's a lot of frustrated people. Let's hear from Ken Hinckley how he saw the game against Richmond.
Oh, I thought at times in the game we were there to challenge and we hurt ourselves. You know, and Richmond were really good. Let's not get too confused. They played at a level that was above us with the way they used the ball and moved the ball. But I thought at times, you know, we got within a couple of goals, we got within 15 points, and then we'd have a really poor turnover that really, and they make the most of that. They sweat on that. They play that way. You know, and they beat us with what we know. That's one thing. They beat us with their game, and they were too strong.
So we've got two footy clubs that aren't that good at the moment, and it's up to them and everyone connected to those clubs to do something about it, and they'll be working very, very hard this week to try and do that, Dits.
Well, under Glenelg in the SANFL, too good for Port Adelaide. They sit top of the ladder, which is great news for them. They've been a bit lean over the last few years. In the cricket, our women have drawn the test against England to secure the Ashes, or retain the Ashes. The Diamonds, this is our netball team, have gone down in the World Championship final by one goal, Roo.
One goal
against our arch rivals, New Zealand. And this is an interesting one. Mack Horton, champion swimmer. This is in the World Championship, right? The final of the 400 freestyle in South Korea overnight. Won the silver medal. Beaten by the Chinese swimmer Sun Yang, and Mack Horton has refused to stand on the dais, saying that this man's a drug cheat and I won't celebrate. I won't stand next to him with my silver medal.
What did he do, this bloke?
And he said, I won't be in any photos with him either. Well, how's this? Recently, he smashed blood vials in front of drug testers.
Refused to get tested.
Well, they had his blood.
I can't believe he's allowed to compete.
Exactly. Should be banned on the spot. Now, he has been banned before. He was found guilty in 2014. So it turns out he's a repeat offender. And Mack Horton is a one-man protest at the World Championships. And that will send a big, big message to the organisers of world swimming.
Well, in AFL football, my experience is as soon as you refuse a drug test or do anything,
you're out.
You're guilty.
You're banned.
Yep. Yeah.
All right. That's our look at sport. Ruined it's here on Triple M.
Monday Talkback up next.
Just about time for us to go, Roo.
It sure is. But the news on one night before September is that tickets are going bananas in the last half an hour. They are selling very, very fast. So don't make the mistake of taking too long to buy your tickets. Get to triplem.com.au as fast as you can, or it could be sold out, Dit. So it is on sale now. triplem.com.au. Tonight, Dits, just want to give people a heads up. There is a documentary on Sky News about Lawyer X, and that is Nicola Gobbo, the criminal defence barrister that was representing all of Melbourne's biggest crooks.
Nicola Gobbo, she had the potential to become a Supreme Court judge. That's how great she was.
She liked to be associated with people who were big and in the news.
Nicola Gobbo was representing the biggest criminals in Victoria, people like Carl Williams.
Rob Coram, Tony Mockbell. At the same time, she was giving daily reports to police.
I've never heard of a lawyer being used as an informer.
It's huge. It's one thing to inform on criminals, but then to inform on the police.
Nick, if you sign this, I think you sign your death warrant.
This is going to be huge. If you like the underworld and you like stories like this, it's on for two nights, and we're going to have a chat to the man who is running this, Peter Stefanovic, tomorrow. So
look forward to that.
7:30 tonight on Sky News.
See you tomorrow, Roo.
Catch you later, everyone. Have a great day.